Final hour here on the DDC. Our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are, I believe, about to speak with Elliot Friedman. Final hour, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Let's bring in Elliot. He is with us. Sportsnet, 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, we played the Predators press conference live here on our show. Went about 45 minutes. A lot to unpack. We were just talking. I'll just hit on what we were just talking about. Darren and Willie here with you. Chase is not on the show today, but he did ask this question late in the presser about Barry Trotz, which did have David Poile laugh. And as I said, it may have been an uncomfortable laugh. And he answered it how he thought about maybe joining the Predators in a front office role. And he said, you know, and all the stuff he's hearing is Barry is going to get is getting courted by a lot of organizations to be their next head coach. What are you hearing on the Barry Trotz front?
Well, I don't think David's wrong. I do think he's getting courted in a lot of places. It's been reported he's going to meet with Philly tomorrow, and they are very interested, very interested. I think he's at the top of their list. I think Winnipeg is very interested, and I think some other teams potentially, Vegas, Detroit, and possibly even someone like Chicago might be interested too, at least in talking to him. So I think when Poile says that Trotz is getting courted, you know, it's very rare that in life you have leverage. And this is a situation where Barry Trotz certainly has a lot of leverage. He'll be able to kind of decide what he wants to do. He's going to have more than one choice. Now, that said, you know, I haven't spoken to Trotz directly, but as you can imagine, I've tried to speak to as many people as I can who might have an idea of what he's thinking. And there is definitely a thought that he might want to go into management, that maybe it's possibly time for him to take a step back from coaching and go into management. And I don't know if that's what will happen, but I do think that he has thought about that. I do think that one thing that's going to come up in conversation with a lot of these teams is, you know, can there be a situation where I coach for X number of years? And, you know, if you look at the Islanders, the guy who's replacing him was one of Barry's longtime lieutenants, who you guys know well, Lane Lambert.
Sure.
And I think if a team wanted, he would propose something like that. Is there someone you want me to work with? I coach for X number of years, and then potentially that person takes over and I transition into a management role. But, you know, with 1 year left on his contract at a good salary, $4 million, he has time to breathe. And I think that one of the things he has considered is it time to step back a bit from coaching and go into a managerial role? And I do think if that's what he decides to do, the Predators would be interested. Now, I think one of the things the Predators are careful with is the idea that Trotz would be looking over the shoulder of John Hines. I don't believe that's the case. I think John Hines, as you saw today, was extended. I think they believe in him as their coach, and I think they would want to message it that if Barry Trotz comes in as the into the Predators front office, it's not to oversee John Hines or potentially be a successor. I don't think they want that drama. So if Barry Trotz is coming into the Predators organization in a front office role, and like I said, I think if that's what he wants to do, there will be an opportunity for him, then I think that there will be that potential to do it. However, some of these offers he might get to coach, those might be tough offers to say no to.
Elliot, Willie knows this, and he'll chuckle because we were, you know, we used to have Barry on all, you know, Barry was maybe the most accessible coach ever, right? That's why everybody loves Barry, and that's not typical with a lot of or most coaches. But Lane Lambert, this is what always stood out to me is, you know, so we never had any trouble having Barry on. Barry would come on the show even if we didn't ask him. He would just literally walk up to the show if we were at the arena or somewhere else and just sit down with us and jump on the show. But Lane Lambert used to always tell us, hey, guys, if you ever want me on, just tell me. I'll come on anytime. Like, he really wanted to come on the show all the time. He loved talking hockey, and that's, again, things that you don't always get from coaches, right? I mean, it was like the best of both worlds when they were here in Nashville. You had the head coach that loved to talk, didn't mind doing interviews, and his assistant that would say to us all the time, hey, you ever need me, I'll come right on. I'll come on anytime. Nice thing to have.
Well, that's all going to change now under Lou Lamoriello.
That is for sure.
Yes, it will. Yep. That's a good point.
Well, you know what? I mean, you guys know Barry Trotz and Lane Lambert. They're both really good people. And, you know, I think that one thing about the Predators organization that you guys have tried to do is, and in many cases succeeded, is try to take care of players off the ice. I mean, you guys know all the stories about Jordan Tutu and Brian McGrattan and David Poile was, and, you know, Connor Ingram this year. David Poile's a big part of that. Brian Poile's a big part of that. Barry Trotz was a big part of that. Lane Lambert, too. And after Trotz and Lambert left, the organization stayed that way. You know, if you're phony, you can't hide. You know, people, the right people always know, right, guys? So those guys aren't phonies.
He also said that there was no succession plan for him whenever he's no longer the general manager. And really, it was more about, is the succession plan include your son, Brian? And I know we've asked you about Brian in the past, but let me ask the question this way, Elliot. Have you heard, like, he can say there's no succession plan currently in place, but, I mean, you have to always have a plan, you know, have a plan B. Whether he's ready to make that public or not, but do you believe that there is privately, you know, a succession plan for David Poile when he decides to walk away?
I do. I do believe there's something. I just don't know. Like, to be honest, I don't know if it's a full formal succession plan, like this is what we're going to do, or there is like an idea of if we're going to do something right now, it's going to be this. Like, I think you guys are right. There's no way there hasn't been discussion about it. There's no way there isn't something there, whether it's formal or informal. One of the things I kind of wondered about was, and this is purely me spitballing, I don't want it turned into anything, was if Trotz came back, could he be the GM potentially down the road? And, you know, that's an if, and the first part of that has to happen first. So that's just me kind of thinking out loud. But the thing is, I think whether it's Brian Poile or it's Scott Nickel or it's other people in your organization, Jeff Kelty, I think you guys are kind of, I don't know if training is the right word, but I think there's people in there gaining experience. And part of the thing when it comes to David Poile is, I'm not convinced he wants to step down. When you ask other people about David Poile, is he still engaged? He's very much engaged. At GM meetings, he has things to say. He's constantly on the phone, gauging what's going on around the league. Some people, they get older and they lose the fire. I don't think he's lost the fire. So I think one of the things is, I think he still wants to do the job. You know, the other thing is, I think while there's people in the Predators organization gaining experience who will be executives, higher executives someday, I don't know, and I'm only saying this because I haven't heard a name that everyone says, that's the next person in Nashville. Like, when the time comes, that's definitely who it's going to be. So in some ways, they could still potentially be looking for the person or hoping that the right person gains some more experience when it's time. So the long-winded answer to your question is I think there's something, but I don't think it's a certainty.
You know, it was interesting, Darren, let me follow up on that. A question that Chase asked during the press conference was, would you be open in the meantime to bringing somebody in from the outside? As you mentioned, there's Brian, who's been, you know, groomed and worked up the ranks over a long period of time here. There's Jeff Kelty, who was a player in the very, very first Predators training camp, who concussions sidelined his career, and he's turned into an excellent evaluator. There's Scott Nickel, who I'd also say is sort of in the family. He was sort of asked, is it time to look at somebody from the outside to add to the team somewhere? And he seemed very open about that. How has that worked in other places, Elliot?
First of all, it sounds like Chase decided to be a real problem.
Oh,
today.
Man, I'll tell you, it was a good question. It's a good question.
No, I'm kidding. I have no doubt it was a great question. I'm just laughing about it. You know, the thing is, I always think...
Well, he's got to do something, Elliot. If he's going to take 4 hours off the show, I mean, he's got to do something.
He's got to be asking questions.
Besides be the program director.
You've got to make it known that he's not just down there eating sandwiches and stuff like that.
Right.
That's true. It's very important. I never think that's bad. Like, I always worry about... Like for example, in my own life, like, one of the things I do now is, like I don't know anything about TikTok, and I'm not a YouTuber, but I go and find, like, people who are successful, and I just go look at them and see what they're doing, and I read about that industry, right? Like, it's just always good to look at new ideas and try new things, because there's always things you're going to say, like, holy smokes, like, I wish I would have thought of that sooner, or... As I tell people, if I hear a good idea, I'm going to steal that idea. And I think it's such a good thing to go out and find people that don't have the same experience. Like, one of your rivals is San Jose, and one of the things they're doing right now is they're saying, you know, we've had kind of the same people in charge for a long time. They were very, very successful. But now that it's kind of hit, you know, a few years out of the playoffs, they want to broaden their horizons. That's what a lot of this search is about. Let's see what we're missing out there. Let's find some new ideas. And I think that's very smart. And even if it's someone, in theory, you know, like Trotz has now been in Washington. He's seen the way that group does business, which is a long time since David Poyle was there. And he's been in New York, and he's got the oldest of old school GMs, but he's got an ownership there that's pretty new and just opened up a new building. Like, even if it's someone you're familiar with, he's been out of the organization for a long time. So I think that kind of thing is really smart. I do.
Read the tea leaves with us and tell us what you think when asked about the Forsberg situation. He said, you know, both sides still mutually want to get this done and, you know, call it a day. But he then, in the same breath, also says, but we are prepared for plans B, C, and D. What do you make of that?
I think that what I make of that is, if this was a simple deal to do, it would be done already.
Hmm. You, like, think anything's changed since we last talked?
Hard to say, because I heard, and I'll say this secondhand. I heard it secondhand. I heard it secondhand that I think some people weren't thrilled that I found out they met that week in Nashville, so they're really trying to lock it down, which I get. I understand. You don't necessarily want this kind of thing in the public right now, although, I mean, us nosy reporters are going to try our best. I just think that the number has been higher than the Predators are comfortable with. And to this point in time, that has not changed. And... I mean, it's one of those things, like, I could always be embarrassed because I could hang up the phone and the Predators could announce a deal. But the last I'd heard is that just the number was higher than the Predators wanted to go. And we'll see where that goes. I think there's still time, obviously. I wouldn't want to handicap it one way or the other. But you've got two long-time good poker players in David Poyle and J.P. Barry, who represents Forsberg, and right now they're playing poker.
Elliot Friedman is with us. So, Elliot, we keep coming back to the same thing. It won't be the first time we throw these numbers out there when you say the number's high. So are we talking like 8 times 9, if the number is 9, is $72 million. 8 times 8 is 64. Another team could offer 9, but only for 7 years, that's 63. So it seems like that's where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? Don't you think that's probably where we're talking, trying to figure out the eighth year versus the 7 year? If your number per year starts with a 9, the Predators don't have to go to 9 to meet that.
I just hesitate to guess at this time of year. I think it's so – I just try to be really careful. Look, I think they want him there. I think at the end of the day, his choice is to be there. We've talked about this several times, that I just think that, you know, Forsberg had a big year at a time where a lot of people need scoring. And I don't know. I want to believe at the end of the day it gets done. I do. I'm just a little bit surprised we are where we are, because it's, you know, it's a bit later than I thought it was going to be. I'll just say that last year, the Landeskog thing in Colorado got really close and it got really intense, but all the Avalanche players were convinced he was going to eventually re-sign and the team was going to find a way. So I think a lot about Forsberg when I think about Landeskog, and I'm hopeful the same thing will happen.
Leave us with this, because it was interesting how he basically advanced his press coverage, which was 45 minutes long. He did most of the talking. John Hines did some, but the feeling there was all with plan A, that they would have Forsberg in there. So it was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't hedge too much when they looked ahead. But one thing that they did say pretty specifically, we need more punch on our second line. If you had to guess, there's still a lot to be sorted out, I'm sure, Elliot. But as you look on the horizon, how easy or tough would that be with a little bit of, with some cap space that they, I think, will have available, some flexibility to address the second line?
Well, the one thing I say about Poile is that he's creative. Like that's the thing I never worry about with him, is that I think he's not afraid, and he is creative. And I think there are going to be opportunities right now, because cap room is so scarce, that if you have some, like they will, you're going to be able to do some things. The other thing, too, is I believe Nashville is one of the teams that has shown some interest in a player who's coming over from Russia named Andrei Kuzmenko. And I don't know that I would say they're a favorite, but they're in the mix. And he's a guy that's got a lot of teams chasing after him. And sometimes when these players come from overseas, it's hard. Like there's a guy who comes over older, like Panarin, and he's a super-duper star, and there's other guys who come over who, you know, have trouble, as some people do, you know, making the change to a different lifestyle and a different game. There are a lot of people who seem to be hopeful that this guy has a chance not to be Panarin, but to be a decent impact player, a solid impact player. And if it turns out that Nashville's the team, that might be one of the ways to help you. But like I said, I wouldn't want to handicap it right now.
Interesting. Good stuff as always, Elliot. We could have done an hour easy today. Really appreciate it.
Think about Elliot's prism right now that he's looking through. He gave us some really good insight on the Predators, but I think it pales in comparison to what's happening in Toronto and then the Battle of Alberta going on the ice. I think he's got a pretty full slate.
Well, we would have loved to have gotten to cover all that today, but we'll have to save it for next week. But thanks for doing it. We knew that the press conference was probably going to dominate today's discussion. So thanks for doing this as always.
Well, Chase went down and did everybody's work for them. So I hope everybody paid for his lunch. Yeah.
Thanks, Elliot.
All right, take care, guys.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. We'll continue the discussion on the other side, ESPN 102.
Well, the one thing I say about Poile is that he's creative. Like that's the thing I never worry about with him, is that I think he's not afraid, and he is creative. And I think there are going to be opportunities right now, because cap room is so scarce, that if you have some, like they will, you're going to be able to do some things. The other thing, too, is I believe Nashville is one of the teams that has shown some interest in a player who's coming over from Russia named Andrei Kuzmenko. And I don't know that I would say they're a favorite, but they're in the mix. And he's a guy that's got a lot of teams chasing after him. And sometimes when these players come from overseas, it's hard. Like there's a guy who comes over older, like Panarin, and he's a super duper star. And there's other guys who come over who, you know, have trouble, as some people do, you know, making the change to a different lifestyle and a different game. There are a lot of people who seem to be hopeful that this guy has a chance not to be Panarin, but to be a decent impact player, a solid impact player. And if it turns out that Nashville's the team, that might be one of the ways to help you. But like I said, I wouldn't want to handicap it right now.
There you go, Elliot Friedman. Ooh. The Predators are hot and heavy after Andre Kuzminko.
And if you were like me, you were probably saying, okay, well, who's Andre Kuzminko?
He's a KHL guy.
Well, we looked up the numbers, as I'm sure some of you did if you heard that. You're like, okay, let's see what's going on over there. So, Max, you actually pulled him up, the stats.
Yeah, I got it, dude. Yeah. Bring it, man. He's a winger, man. He had 20 goals this year for St. Petersburg. Yeah.
How many games?
45 games.
Oh, 20 goals, 45 games. Ooh, that's like 35 goals?
This is the same team that would not let Yaroslav Askarov even on the ice this year.
St. Petersburg?
Yeah. Well, that's what happens. If you say you're out, you become sort of persona non grata.
You are out.
Yeah. Interesting.
They say literally you're out. I don't know. He's 26 years old, and yet he's been playing for there's 16.
There's usually several guys that fall into this category, KHL vets. And like Elliot said, every now and then there's one that absolutely hits it big, like Panarin. Then there's varying degrees. There's some guys that you never end up hearing about because they just don't end up doing anything. There's guys who carve out a decent role. Then there's a guy in the middle, like Evgeny Dodonov, right, who's a free agent. He was one of those guys. He's scored quite a few goals. Now, is he a superstar? No, but he's a top six player. That'll be interesting to see what happens to him. He's a guy to throw on the list of guys who are out there.
I'm just always curious, like, he's been over there the whole time. So, why, you know, how do they know whenever, you know, is it because of what's going on? That he just wants to get out of that? I mean, I always wonder, like, why is he deciding, like, he's never flirted with the NHL. He's never gone back and forth. Like, he's been a Russian player, period, over there. Like, I wonder at 26 why they're, you know, the Predators and whoever else are in heavy, and it's apparently time for him to try to come over and play. I always wonder how they get to that point and how do they know?
Yeah, different guys follow different paths for sure. Some, I think, just grow up and they love being home, right? They're in their home country.
Well,
that's enough for them. And then maybe their thinking changes after a while. So sometimes maybe they weren't as good. Maybe he's a late bloomer that wasn't on the radar early as an impactful guy, and he just, you know, he wasn't drafted in the first round or anything like that. Was he drafted?
Not that I
was he ever
tell.
Drafted?
Kuzmenko?
Yeah, was he ever drafted in the
like
NHL?
It. Doesn't look like it.
So that's he
not
must be a late
tell.
Bloomer. I'm presuming, but look, if you're trying to figure out the secrets of what goes on in Russia, I'm not the right guy. I don't know.
No, you don't have the pipeline to Russia.
I don't. Grasping at straws.
He was undrafted and a 2016 prospect was when he turned 18, so it's a while ago. That would have been the first draft he was eligible for.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't lit the world on fire over there, but, I mean, again, without having any clue, it's not like I've sit up at night finding the video of KHL games and watch them. I haven't checked out any St. Petersburg games lately.
Point per game over there, Darren, especially on the big ice.
That's noteworthy.
Yeah, that's
true.
That's as good as it gets.
True.
But does it translate to the North American game? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Another example might be the Japanese Baseball League. That happens a lot. Guys stay in Japan until a certain age and then they jump over. Some end up like Ichiro, you know, or Hideki Matsui. You know, there's some that come over and do really, really well, and other guys don't. Yeah.
Yep, that's very true. All right, so pretty good little nugget there from Elliot at the end. Andre Kuzminko. We'll keep that one in mind. All right, we'll come back, continue the discussion on the other side. More of your feedback. What did you think of today's press conference? Text or phone lines wide open, 615-737-1025. We'll get to those on the other side. But right now I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. Yes, you've heard me talk about them for years because I love going there. They've been helping me for years become healthier and happier. They've improved my quality of life. And as we get older, I hope you want that like I do. It gets challenging. as we all know, right? And maybe weight loss management is something you've been considering lately, especially with the warmer temperatures and the pools are about to open. Maybe you'd like to shed a couple unwanted pounds. Well, they've got programs and products and people that could get you back on track and headed in the right direction. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important. That, too, is challenging as we get older. Their staff will be more than happy to discuss PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally, hormone therapy. Been feeling a little bit off lately? Haven't had the same drive or energy? Experiencing some mood swings? You just don't feel like yourself? Well, maybe you need to get your levels checked. If you've never had your levels checked or you haven't had them checked in a long time, they tend to go down as you get older, and that can affect you in these areas. And their staff will be more than happy to discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. These are some of the things they do under one roof there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com. Or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. How about caller 3 right now, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Max Herz will be waiting for the third caller. He's at our Hillside Medical Game Studio, and he's going to give that lucky third caller a pair of tickets before you can even buy them to see Bring Me the Horizon at Municipal Auditorium. That'll be on September 28th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. So third caller to win that. So let's go to our text line. Let's start with Josh. Josh says, Willie, that I know you guys used to be called 3D before, but once you get Derek back on the show full time, I propose a subtle change to the DDV. And I agree with Josh. I would like the DDV. I like Villy. I think we should stop calling you Willie. I like Villy better. Like when we had Kyle the caller call in and sitting in Atlanta traffic earlier when he said Darren and Villy, that makes me laugh. It brings joy to my life. I'm okay with DDV. How do you feel?
I don't feel good about it.
Okay. That was an honest answer.
Yeah.
Do you need time to rethink that?
No.
Garland on our text line says the ruble has taken a loss lately. Maybe it's a money thing. I don't know that. I haven't checked up on the ruble lately. So maybe the ruble's down. I don't know. Could be a money issue why he wants to come over. Not sure. How about, let's see, what was the other one I wanted to read to get Sorry, I'm sifting through a lot. Okay, here it is. And it looks like it's an unnamed texter. Said, I would love for you guys to talk about the Preds' defensive structure sometime. Are the players executing that structure the way they should? I really get tired of the other teams easily entering our zone and setting up camp. We waste an entire shift chasing the opponent. You want to do that?
I think that they played with a good structure. He was really asked about that. I put structure in with system identity. I heard the morning show guys talking about this before the press conference. John Hines was basically asked, I think it was Caroline. I can't say for certain, but I think it was Caroline that asked about the identity. Can you define the identity? John Hines jumped all over the question and laid it out. And I think if you heard John Hines break down the four quarters of the season, I think he more or less admitted that they were not as tenacious and effective with their structure in the fourth quarter of the season. And there's reasons for that, that he's not trying to use it as excuses, but he listed, the 6 to 8 guys on the team, 6 in particular. And I don't think he named them all by name. But you had Carrier and Fabro, Tomasino, Trennan, Janot, Tolvanen. He said there are 6 guys playing key roles that had not gone through the full 82. And I think they lost a little bit of bite in that fourth quarter of the season. And it was also coupled with playing the most difficult part of their schedule in terms of degree of opponent. They played some really tough teams down the stretch, and they had some ugly games. They hung in there. They didn't lose their place, but I don't think they had quite the sharpness defensively that John Hines liked. And if you go back and look at, you know, the first 60 games, I think you love the structure that the team played with. And because it goes with the identity. It goes with being tough to play against. You know, the hard hitting, the aggressiveness, you know, the defensive, the responsibility for the 200-foot game. I think you saw it there, but I just think it sagged a little bit towards the end of the season. They've got to sort of get it back, and they need some support and a little bit better personnel. Does that make sense? Is that a fair way of putting it out there?
Yeah.
But to say they don't play with structure, I think they play with more structure than Peter Laviolette
and his
team's had.
Yeah, that's
for sure.
That's really not even close.
I think there's a lot more detail in the system, for sure, and I think they want to build on it. Add a couple more guys that play the way they want to play. And the other thing that comes up a lot is structure / discipline. It's been widely noted. They were the most penalized team in the league. They had the most majors, but they also had the most time shorthanded. So it's a give and take. If you're going to play aggressive, nasty, sandpaper, fighting, I don't think you can at the same time be the least penalized team in the league, even with minor penalties. But can they cut that gap down? Can they cut down on the trips, the stick fouls, the things like that? That has to be the goal. They don't want to be number
stick
one in
penalties,
minors.
Too many men on the ice.
That's what can't happen.
Game.
Yeah.
That stuff is that you can fix some of that. Now, I agree with you that some of the other stuff, your style of play, will just dictate, unfortunately, you taking penalties. But you can trim it down. You can. Going back to our question from Bob in Antioch, when we were having that discussion when he asked about the Granlund and Fiala trade, and we deemed it a win-win for both. Shane from Ashland City did weigh in on Granlund when we were talking about him and said, if you had to be stuck with a guy in the corner with the puck for 10 seconds, with 10 seconds left down by a one, he said, Granlund is the guy I want to be stuck with in the corner because he's going to make a pass that will at least give you a chance. He said, I've liked Granlund since day one. I agree with when we were talking about this earlier. You love, like, his passing ability, his assist, you know, that stuff is – fantastic. That was a home run this year in that department. I think I'm with you. I'd like to see his goals go up some, right? I'd love for him to contribute a little bit more in that department. And I would think he probably feels the same way. And the coaching staff feel the same way. True?
No question. I think when you're playing top six, even if you rack up the assists, you'd like to have a few more goals. I think that could bounce back some. Is he going to score 30? No. Could Fiala score 30? Yeah, Fiala kind of needs to score in the neighborhood of 30 to be what is he needs to be for a team to win. Because going back to the intangibles, when you're a team guy and you play those tough roles, you play against the other team's top competition, he brings the saying that John Hines uses a lot is he brings you into the fight. That's the Mikhail Granlund, right? The Granimal. He does that. Kevin Fiala is not that type of player. Now, Fiala, can he continue to be an 80-point guy? I think he possibly can be. It's just a different type of ingredient. Granlund is locked in at $5 million a year for the next 3 years. He's a little bit older than Fiala. That's why the next contract for Fiala is going to be really important. He's going to get a big raise. He makes 5.1 right now. He's still only what, Darren? 25, I think, Fiala?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he might be too rich for the Wild to keep. So what happens to him? That's a big one. But somebody's going to make a big investment in Fiala, and they're going to need a big return.
He'll be 26 this summer. So.
26 in the summer. Okay.
Yep. All right, we'll come back and put a bow on more reaction. Put a bow on Thursday's edition of the DDC. Congratulations, Kyle. In Spring Hill, Kyle was listening and was lucky caller 3. So, Kyle, thanks for listening, and have fun at that show in September. We'll come back, wrap up the show next. There's a little taste of what Kyle in Spring Hill is going to get. Bring me the horizon. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. David Poile said that goalies coach Ben Vanderklok will be traveling to Milwaukee to meet with Askarov in person for the first time. David said his first impression so far of Askarov has been excellent, and the plan for him is to spend the summer in Nashville. How about that?
Well, Ben Vanderklok is a big, big part of the equation here. He's got a tremendous track record. He learned under Mitch Korn, who I don't know that there's a better goalie coach of the last, 25, 30 years. He's as good, as accomplished as anyone, I think. Ben Vanderklok has created his own thing since Mitch Korn left to go with Barry Trotz. Ben Vanderklok has a really interesting project ahead. He wants to take UC Soros to the next level, and he's got a lot to work with there. UC Soros is a critical piece going forward. He's in the prime of his career. He's actually a little young for the prime of the great goalies. Imagine if he could even improve a little bit more. And they talked a lot about his workload today. So then you've got Connor Ingram, who Ben Vanderklok has been working with for a while. And now you've got Askarov over here, eager to learn. So what a stable of guys on Ben Vanderklok's plate. But I think this will be a huge summer for Askarov. He gets his first taste of it. Hopefully Milwaukee can keep being successful. You'll see Ingram get to play more big games. They've advanced to the next round, right? They're in the, what do you call it, the Central Finals, I think, is what you call the round they're in.
Just the conference semis.
So the final four, basically. Is that right?
Final eight of the league.
Final eight of the league.
Yeah. Final four of the conference.
Okay, so the longer they stay in, the better. Meaningful games. And Askarov can get a taste of the North American game. But then how huge is it that he doesn't go home to Russia? He wants to stay and learn in Nashville. Hopefully that means also just acclimating yourself.
How's his English?
Well, when he was drafted, I can tell you, he had to have a translator. And, of course, we were on Zoom. It was 2020. It was a mess. It was really hard to get anything. He was not comfortable speaking English at that point, but that was 2 years ago. So, Max, right. you hearing anything on that?
So, before game two on our extended pregame on the radio, before Darren does the real thing, I had the pre-pregame. Yeah, I had best show, best pre-pregame in the NHL, by the way. I had Charlie Larson from the ads PR staff was kind enough to hook me up with an interview. Tommy Novak was on, who obviously was on the Preds for 3 months this year. But I thought he was a very good representative of where the team was at. And this was like 3 days after Askarov had shown up. And he said, he's a funny guy, doesn't have a lot of English in him, but has a strong sense of humor despite it. And his big comment about his play, only having seen him in short spurts of practice, was his hands were really good. His hands were really, really quick. And what ended up happening, obviously we didn't expect him to play for them, but while Ingram was still up here, which was the first three games of their first round series, Devin Cooley, who was Ingram's backup this year, started those games for Milwaukee, and Askarov got to dress as the backup for those games. So he was in uniform on the tryout agreement.
Oh, I saw the videos with him skating.
Oh, yeah.
Before pregame, those warm-ups. Oh, I saw the videos out there circulating. Yes. So let's talk about the backup goalie situation here. That was addressed in the press conference. No surprise. David Poile saying that there will be a different backup goalie in net behind UC Soros next season. Again, not surprise. David Rettich, it wasn't good enough. Nice guy, but you knew that they were going to go a different direction. You knew when basically Connor Ingram played the playoff series minus, a period and a half, that was going to be the case. Now, the real question is, again, we know Connor Ingram's story and his journey and, again, the Game 2 performance against Colorado, fantastic, but we don't know how he'll be as the full-time backup. And if indeed, as John Hines, and this is something we haven't touched on, the workload, I believe Kayla Anderson from News 2 asked about the workload. And we've been talking about workload a lot on this show this week, whether it's Derrick Henry or UC Soros that they are definitely going to be discussing that, going in with a plan. He was talking about all the people that they talked to before every start, and they felt like it was, you know, which is what you expect him to say, that he had the proper rest and, you know, could handle the workload. But I suspect they will scale back because of the injury. We don't know if that number is, let's say, 22 starts next year. If Connor Ingram, how he'll look in 22 to 25 starts next year. Don't know.
So what are your options? So I think at this point, based on what we saw from Ingram, he's going to get a shot. He's going to be in the mix to compete for that backup spot. I'm a believer myself. That's just me. I'm a believer in him. And we don't know this, but the kid's got a lot of talent. Askarov, could he spot as a guy that you could move up for a spot start here or there? That's an option. If he has a great summer, if he takes to the North American game, and he gets off to a good start next season, that's all possible, even
but
though he's extremely... What do you mean?
Well, I mean,
he's under contract for 3 years.
I know, but you're telling Connor Ingram, like, oh, yeah, you're going to be the backup, and then we may spot start a scar. I mean...
Well, that's if
is that
I'm just saying.
Him a...
No. He has the job if he earns it. I think he's the guy that to me is the inside.
It's
track.
His to lose.
Yes, I don't think you want to rush Askarov. But remember the dynamic you had for a time with Merrick Mazinitz and UC Soros. They would sort of go up and down to Milwaukee. One guy gets the play, the other guy backs up. When it's time to make a start, you decide who you want to start that game. And then you go from there. But the key was to develop UC Soros and let him play enough games in the AHL that you don't stun his growth. I think that's going to be the plan for Askarov. And remember, Askarov is super, super young. But Soros was too. I mean, at 21 or 22 years old, he was playing some games in the NHL. But he needs time in the AHL. Connor Ingram has put in the time. He's played 5 years in the AHL. He should be a much more polished product to be able to take on that role. Now, I would add this. Would you sprinkle in an insurance policy? I don't know how they feel about Devin Cooley, the other guy that was mentioned. He's been playing a lot of games in Milwaukee. Is he enough of an option to be in this mix? I don't know. Or would you rather have a veteran guy who you can put on basically a two-way contract, right? You could stick in Milwaukee, but he's a guy that's played some games in the NHL, a lot of games. I think those guys will be out there too. David Riddick will be one of those guys, probably. I don't know that he's going to get an NHL contract to back up somewhere. But we mentioned Louis Domingue a couple times, right? Pittsburgh was in a situation suddenly where they had to play a third guy. They had Louis Domingue in the bullpen. And so he at least gave them a guy who had played. A veteran. They didn't have to throw a guy in there that, you know, was completely in over his head. So that might be an ingredient to look for.
Good show today. Good stuff. Looking forward to finishing the week up strong tomorrow. Everybody have a great rest of your Thursday. Enjoy this beautiful weather. And we do look forward to talking to you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We shall see you then.